Right, dear friends, we are back, hopefully to conclude the message on living a victorious Christian life. This is the third message on it. Earlier we had tried to answer the question, who is a Christian? And then, what does the Christian need to gain victory over? We found out that the word victory implies a conflict, a struggle, a fight with an enemy or enemies. And we found out that the Christian has enemies. We identified those enemies as self, sin, and Satan, all three working together to deny the Christian victory. We read three short scriptures, which I'm not going to read now because we will come to those scriptures as we try to conclude. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll answer the question, why is it necessary for a Christian to live victoriously, or to live a victorious life, and how can that victory be gained or won? Father, we want again to obtain your permission as we explore this important topic, and also not only your permission but your help, that we may gain knowledge that we will put into practice to live victoriously, for that is the life that pleases you. Help us, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is it necessary for a Christian to live a victorious life? Why is victorious Christian living desirable? Let me start with what an Irish evangelist, his name is Gypsy Smith, once said. Gypsy Smith said, and I quote him, "There are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian." And he continues, "And some people will never read the first four," which means the only one they will read is the fifth gospel, the Christian. You see why living a victorious Christian life is imperative for the Christian. Because those who do not know Christ will read you. And that is what will determine whether they will come to Christ or not. Secondly, the alternative to living a victorious life is living in sin. And sin in the life of a Christian is worse than sin in the life of the non-Christian. You say, why? How? Sin in the life of a non-Christian is natural. He cannot help it. But sin in the life of a Christian is unnatural. It's like the difference between a sheep and a pig. It's unnatural for a sheep to wallow in the gutter. But it is natural for a pig. That's its comfortable habitat, as it were. Thirdly, sin scandalizes God and God's people. God said to King David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, God said, and I quote from 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14, "By this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." 2 Samuel 12, verse 14. And the Apostle Paul says also in Romans chapter 2, verse 24, to the Jews who would not keep the law, though they know the law, he says, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." The sorrows of sin outlast its pleasures. For the momentary pleasure that David had with Bathsheba, he had sorrow upon sorrow for a long time to come. And finally, sin is very dangerous. The danger is expressed in this observation by one servant of God. He says, "Sin will take you farther than you would want to go." Yeah, It's only a kiss, it's only a hug, but it takes you farther. And before you know it, you've fallen into fornication or adultery. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It's just a glass, just a sip, and then you become an alcoholic. And then sin will cost you much more than you can ever pay. And the cost may be so high that you end up in hell. How can a Christian live a victorious life? Let us now go back to those scriptures that we read, revisit them. In Romans 8 verse 37, it says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." When you gain victory, the fragrance of the knowledge of God is diffused to every place. Romans 8 verse 37, "We overconquer." That's the literal meaning in the Greek. "Through Jesus Christ, the one who loved us." 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57, "God gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 2:14, "God always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ." So you see then, or we'll conclude, that victorious Christian living is only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. But you say, how? In Colossians 1 verse 27, the Bible says that Christ in the believer, in the Christian, is the hope of glory. The glory in question is not just heaven. God made man in his glorious image and likeness. This glory was lost when man fell into sin. And that's why Romans 3 verse 23 says that all have sinned and have fallen short, come short of the glory of God. The indwelling presence of Christ is the only way man can be restored to the glorious image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And when you are restored to that glorious image and you reflect it, you're living a victorious Christian life, and it is only through Christ. Christ within must be the Christ expressed, which is what victorious Christian living is all about. But what is the role of the Holy Spirit in this, in all of this, you may ask me? Christ within is the Holy Spirit who represents him. Is the Holy Spirit who resides in you, whom he sent on the day of Pentecost. If you recall what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, interesting. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.'" In verse 38, John 7, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And there is a commentary attached to this in verse 39. Verse 39 is a commentary. Because verse 39 says, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So is the Holy Spirit who is in you, representing Jesus Christ. When we let him flow out, we experience a life of victory over the trinity of enemies, self, sin, and Satan. Letting Christ flow out is what a life of dependence is about. And prayer is the expression of dependence. In other words, anyone who will not live dependently on the Holy Spirit will never know victory over self, sin, and Satan. And the most effective form of prayer for victorious Christian living is mental prayer, otherwise known as meditation. Many Christians are familiar with only what I call punctuated prayer. punctuated in the sense that it is prayer at intervals. And sometimes the interval may be as long as 12 hours or even 24 hours. That will not cut it. What the Bible recommends is ceaseless prayer. That's what the scripture recommends. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And meditation is what explains this ceaseless prayer best. To underscore the place of mental prayer in victorious Christian living, one Roman Catholic cardinal, Bellarmine, said, and I quote him, "For him who neglects meditation, it is morally impossible to live without sin. A prayerless Christian who is not praying constantly, who is not praying ceaselessly, cannot live victoriously, cannot but live in sin." It is possible to live a victorious Christian life, radio friend. It is possible. But you have to know your enemies, identify your enemies, and you have to live dependently upon Christ or upon the Holy Spirit who represents Christ in you. The victory is already won. The life of Christ is a victorious life already. Beloved Christian, never forget that there are five Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. And some people will never read the first four. Let us pray. We've come to the end of our discussion, dear Lord. As the voice of a man is silent now, I trust that the voice of the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to my radio friends, helping them to gain victory over self, sin, and Satan, and thereby glorifying your name and attracting many to the Savior. This is why you have left us on earth. Grant this, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.